Belief in the flesh and corporeality is the lie and the father of lies. When the Bible speaks of laying down your life, it doesn't mean the life of the body, but rather the human mind's concept of life, to which spirit, divine actuality, is but a dream, while the flesh, which profiteth nothing, is the solid reality. The wretched man within us all that St. Paul speaks of is the human mind under a hypnotic spell, the flesh lusting against the spirit, the twice two makes five mentality. The only way we can rid ourselves of this bondage to illusion is through spiritual education, which transforms our thinking and enables us to put on the mind of Christ. The human mind is enmity against God only until the fact of spirit and the fiction of matter becomes clear to this mind. Then, as mortals awake from their dream of material sensation and catch a glimpse of reality, all earth's hieroglyphics of love, which in the mortal daydream appear as matter, will be understood. They'll be understood as mind being its own great cause and effect, and mind can only produce mind. Mind is the power that forms the image. Mortals find it hard to believe Jesus' teaching that God, infinite good, is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Mortals find it hard to believe that God, infinite good, being spirit and being all, must then be the only substance out of which anything can be formed, including their true identity. It must be remembered that there isn't God and you, or God and countless other forms. There is only God, infinite good, expressed as these forms. It is the determination to hold spirit in the grasp of matter that is the persecutor of truth and love, and this makes it hard for humanity to crown the power of mind as the Messiah. What is evil? Jesus called it a lie. Where did it originate? Where did 2 times 2 equal 5 originate? Evil is always hypnotism, or that which seemeth to be but is not. Death, and everything that leads up to it, is an illusion, beginning with the illusion of human birth. Evil, error, illusion, has no more real existence in the understanding of our being than 2 times 2 equals 5 has in the understanding of numbers. To every problem, whether it be in mathematics or our life, the fact, the solution, has always existed. The illusion has to be about something real. What then caused the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane? An agony so severe that, as Jesus prayed more earnestly, his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Surely it wasn't fear of death. He had consistently raised the dead with a word, stilled the tempest, walked away unseen by the crowd gathered to stone him. And within the hour he would restore the ear of Malchus, cut off by Peter's sword. No, something far greater, infinitely higher than fear of death, was the cause of his agony. It was his concern for the salvation of the whole world. The success of his mission depended upon those few disciples who only recently had been quarreling among themselves as to who should be greatest. Had they caught the real meaning of his life's work? Could they stand? Could they press forward? The evidence was all against it. All save John would forsake him at the crucifixion. Peter, whom he trusted as a leader, would deny him. Jesus must have been sorely perplexed. Was this really the right time to leave them? Or did they need more instruction? There was no written script to guide or to remind them of his teaching. On this holy night, Jesus was preparing to make the highest demonstration a human being has ever made. Twice after praying, he returned to his disciples for encouragement, but found them sleeping. The third time he went away to pray, the answer came. An angel message assured him that heaven and earth could pass away, but his words would never pass away. And even if his disciples failed, the very stones would cry out and reveal how materialism had been shattered and how man's true identity as one with God had been demonstrated. In my book, Mary Baker Eddy, God's Great Scientist, is the comment, "Each of the disciples served Jesus in a special way, but not one of them stayed awake to watch with him and give him support in his final hour of agony." Disappointing as this must have been for Jesus, that experience nevertheless proved for all humanity, beyond all question, and for all time, that there is no contingency that is not provided for in the inherency of things. The kingdom of God within our consciousness has the means, has all that is necessary for any achievement. The divine principle life, which Jesus called Father, endured. It did not forsake him. Alone for 3 days with his principle, his Christ mind, without any help from his disciples or followers, he achieved his mighty, crowning, and unparalleled and triumphant exit from the flesh. Exit from the illusion of the flesh alone can bring lasting happiness, which all humanity is seeking. Like all that is good, happiness is not something to be produced. It is an abiding reality, always present. We must tell the truth concerning the lie and persistently claim happiness. Then sooner or later, as consciousness frets itself free from the bonds of matter, a change will come, in which happiness is found within you, and your joy, no one, no material condition, taketh from you. When Savonarola spoke out for the truth, the Florentines followed him. But when they saw he was in earnest and meant business, they burned him at the stake. In today's period of transition out of materialism, the world, though still fighting every step of the way against its own deliverance, is being forced to come out from under the rule of persons into the rule of principle. This is so, since heaven, through becoming universally recognized as a state of mind, has been brought down to earth. We who have glimpsed the truth and have been greatly benefited by the teaching of the first and second coming of the Christ have a duty to proclaim it, to speak out, to broadcast this truth, to give clearer views of the glory that is not something to be revealed in the hereafter, but is present in the world for us now. Suffering humanity needs to be continually instructed that spirit, infinite good, is the only substance, and that matter has no place in spirit. For many dreary ages, this ever-present divine truth has been hidden. But the writings of Mary Baker Eddy have lifted the curtain on man as spiritual and immortal, and a great advancing tide is on its way, is surging ahead, revealing one power only. The science discovered by Mary Baker Eddy reveals the spiritual idea of God. Having made the discovery that the 5 physical senses, being the channels through which hypnotism works, misconceive everything, Mrs. Eddy began the arduous task of teaching reality to mankind. She could not fill vessels already full. The mind of humanity must therefore first be emptied. Mortals must be taught what reality is not, as well as what it is. To teach reality and our true identity to a world believing that man lives in a matter body, Mrs. Eddy had to start every thought from infinite good, divine mind, since only divine mind's knowing is real. There is only one infinite divine consciousness, the Christ consciousness, your consciousness. In a way, it isn't your consciousness, it is infinite good's consciousness, but that is the consciousness which you and I are. It is out of that realized consciousness that all good flows. It is the kingdom of God within your consciousness. It has no awareness of that which does not exist, other than as illusion. Infinite good is only aware of itself. It is not touched by mortal ignorance, just as the sun is only aware of itself and is not touched by even the darkest clouds that would hide it. It continues to shine by being the light it is. In order to explain what man is not, Mrs. Eddy had to use an infinite scientific divine logic, which to a reader steeped in the two-value logic taught in schools might seem dualistic. But the careful reader sees that Mrs. Eddy is always teaching that good is real, evil is unreal. Spirit is real, matter is unreal. Life is real, death is the illusion. In no other way could she teach mortals that there is no corporeal man. There is, mistakenly, a corporeal sense of man, resulting from the belief in human birth, but there is not actually a corporeal or physical man. The universe of spirit is peopled with spiritual beings that were never born into fleshly corporeal bodies. Infinite space is peopled with God's ideas that are neither old nor young. The only thing that keeps us from being aware of living in this infinite space is that, looking through a glass darkly, alias being under a hypnotic spell, we are unable to see what is really there. What is really there, science teaches, is the divine, eternal you, who lives in good, lives also in God, lives in all life, through all space, just as honesty, integrity, loving kindness, or even 2 × 2 = 4, lives in all life, through all time and space, unquote. In reality, we form our own world of experience, since we are always alone with our own being and with the reality of things. As we know the truth, our world becomes harmonious. We find that spiritual ideas like numbers and notes start from principle, the kingdom of God within our consciousness, and admit of no materialistic beliefs. Infinite good gives all, and what is called man, infinite good's expression, has all that this infinite good gives. We of ourselves are makers of ourselves by virtue of the thoughts we entertain. Quote, mind is the master power that molds and makes, and man is mind. And evermore he takes the tool of thought, and, shaping what he wills, brings forth 1,000 joys, 1,000 ills. He thinks in secret, and it comes to pass. Environment is but his looking glass. Brief 3. Understanding our pre-existence. The 5 corporeal senses deceive man. Answering the question, is it possible to know why we are put into this condition of mortality? Mrs. Eddy said, it is quite as possible to know wherefore man is thus conditioned as to be certain that he is in a state of mortality. The only evidence of the existence of a mortal man, or of a material state and universe, is gathered from the 5 personal senses. This delusive evidence science has dethroned by repeated proofs of its falsity. Unquote. The 5 corporeal senses, which hypnotism uses to keep us mesmerized, continually attempt to crucify Mary Baker Eddy's great revelation that belief of human birth is the Pandora box from which all evils spring. These evils are illusions, induced by a state of hypnotism which causes mankind to view everything wrongly, and therefore to suffer needlessly. In Christian Science, we learn that personality is not the individuality of man. There is no such thing as mortality, nor are there properly any mortal beings, because being is immortal. Being and deity are inseparable. The real I of you and me is immortal. That I and the Father are one must be so if the kingdom of God is within you. Before Mrs. Eddy's time, this could not be seen, since she had to show a flesh-and-blood bones personality as mere hypnotism, the hypnotic view of the five physical senses. Christian Science teaches that if mortals are instructed in spiritual things, it will be seen that material belief, the testimony of the corporeal senses, in all its manifestations, reversed, will be found the type and representative of verities priceless, eternal, and just at hand. Because, quote, every material belief, illusion, hints the existence of spiritual reality. It is always a lie about some truth, just as 2 times 2 equals 5 is a lie about 2 times 2 equals 4. There can be no lie or illusion about nothing. The crucial point in this study is that error cannot be reversed until we are first instructed and enlightened in spiritual things. This instruction lifts the veil, the wool that has been pulled over our eyes by the universal belief of having a corporeal body. Jesus knew of his preexistence and prayed, "Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was, before this dream of human birth and mortality overtook me." If mind, the only mind, therefore in reality your mind, is its own cause and effect, and is both noumenon and phenomena, must you not then have pre-existed in the all and only? You will lose your sense of mortality in the proportion that you gain the sense of your spiritual pre-existence, as the offspring of good, and not of a fallen man. The meek Nazarene's steadfast and true knowledge of pre-existence, of the nature and the inseparability of God and man, and that neither he nor anyone else was the offspring of fallen man, made him mighty. This great truth of your pre-existence and immortality substantiates your spiritual divine identity. For this reason, today's great challenge, instruction in spiritual things, must become a global priority in order that the error which has caused human consciousness to journey in a far country may be conquered, and we find our way back to the Father's house, the kingdom of God within our own spiritual consciousness. To this end, publishing the Word of God, feeding thy sheep, feeding the world's hungry hearts, is a crucial necessity. All must learn their present divinity. With divine logic, Mrs. Eddy had to show mortals that what they believe to be matter is actually spirit when rightly seen and spiritually understood. Job said, "Yet in my flesh shall I see God." That is, now and here shall I behold infinite good's omnipresence. Only hypnotism keeps us from seeing everything as God's presence, and not what it appears to be to the five physical senses, which are the vehicle through which hypnotism operates. Mrs. Eddy was trying to teach Adam Dickey this great truth, trying to resurrect him out of the grave in which material sense had buried him, when she touched his arm and said, "Adam, this is spirit." Of course, Adam didn't understand. Thoroughly schooled in two-value logic, like most of us, he mistakenly thought of himself as a material body. The resurrection is when we never see the material man, the illusion, but see the real spiritual man that was never in matter. What has happened to matter in the last 100 years? Within the memory of many still living, matter, which in Mrs. Eddy's day was solid as steel in men's thoughts, has long since crumbled into immaterial particles of radiation. Mrs. Eddy, in this instance, was teaching Adam to stop denying that he already was spiritual consciousness alone. She wanted him to see that there was only one, not two of him, not one a spiritual consciousness and the other a material consciousness. There is only one, the divine identity. A corporeal, flesh-blood-bones man is illusion, the product of belief, the product of universal hypnotism. Christian Science has come to tell the truth concerning the lie that man is mortal and has a selfhood separate from God, his own right mind. Mary Baker Eddy revealed the impossibility of existence separate from divinity, since how can you be separated from your own true mind, your true consciousness, the kingdom of God within you? She taught humanity how to know itself as divine, how to rid itself of the mortal viewpoint, how to remove the veil, the hypnotism that makes you think you are a mortal. Once you see you are not a human being, but you are a divine being, having all the qualities and attributes of God, then hurts and insults no longer bother you. For unless someone has called you the Son of God, he has not identified you correctly. In divine science, divine love includes and reflects all that really is, all personality and individuality. Only illusion, universal hypnotic suggestion, hides from you this truth, this great spiritual reality that you never left heaven for earth. Only in illusion do you appear to be the prodigal son that left heaven, and now, through divine instruction, are returning. Socrates had counseled, "Know thyself." Mary Baker Eddy taught humanity how to know itself as divine. She revealed the human and divine coincidence, explaining that there can be no selfhood apart from God, since the kingdom of God is all and is ever-present. It is within you, within your individual, infinite, spiritual consciousness, making you and God one, in accordance with Jesus' teaching, "I and my Father, mind, are one. He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me." Jesus said, "Let not him who seeks cease until he find. And when he finds, he shall be astonished. Astonished, he shall reach the kingdom, and having reached the kingdom, he shall rest." The kingdom of heaven is within you, and whosoever shall know himself shall find it. Strive, therefore, to know yourselves, and ye shall know that ye are in the city of God, and ye are that city. From an ancient manuscript, see Christian Science Journal, Volume 16, page 114. Mankind unaware of its dream existence. But mankind generally still lives in a cave, trapped by its shadows and mental darkness. Humanity is unaware that the entire mortal existence is only a dream, mere shadows on a wall. All, however, are destined to awake from this false sense of life and mind and matter, with its feet of clay. The flesh and blood we believe we are is the result of animal magnetism. Mrs. Eddy's name for hypnotism, for that which results in human birth with its sin, sickness, discord, and death. The veil that human birth drops over us engulfs us in a hypnotic state, which is responsible for every error we become aware of. Eventually, we will all turn from the shadowy images, from the hypnotism that makes error seem so real, and we will learn reality. Learn life in and of spirit, for flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The discordant false images produced by the mesmeric state of being born into a belief of matter, are like the blazing firelight used by the deceitful operators in Plato's cave to create shadow images on the wall. These shadow images represent the ignorance that has held mankind in bondage since the beginning of time. These mist images must be seen as pure illusion. They must then be corrected with the light of spiritual understanding that we are not material personalities, but, correctly understood, we are spiritual beings here and now. Proportionately, as we realize the truth, we become the vehicle for the activity and operation of divine consciousness. As long as we think of ourselves as separated from God, we can do nothing, as Jesus indicated. Of mine own self, of my own power, of my own knowledge or strength, I can do nothing, since it is the Father within me that doeth the works. Jesus was the vehicle, the instrument through which the Father, Jesus' own divine consciousness, could work. This is why Jesus said, "The Father is greater than I, who am the expression of the Father." Through realizing the truth, you, like Jesus, become the messenger, the instrument used by divine providence, meaning by the kingdom of God within you, within your own consciousness, with which you are always one. Your real divine being is both the message and the messenger. I and my Father are one. Therefore you, John or Mary, are the vehicle, the instrument for the I, the divine consciousness of you, that is God. But still the I that is God, and the I that I am, and the I that you are one. There is only infinite mind expressing itself, as its form, its activity. But the activity of God and God's incarnated forms are not something different from God. They are God manifested. If a sculptor has a huge block of marble and makes this marble into innumerable forms, he doesn't have marble and innumerable forms. He has marble expressed as innumerable forms. Again, since God, infinite good, is all, it can only express itself as what it is. This expression is called generic man, or the spiritual idea of God, which the woman in the Apocalypse symbolizes. Our work is to bring the human character into accord with the divine. The human self must be evangelized. We can work out the spiritual, which determines the outward and actual, only as we abandon the material. In this way alone do we become aware of our divinity, our true identity. Many ask, what is the spiritual idea of God? Under the marginal heading, Spiritual Idea Revealed, Mrs. Eddy indicates that it is the spiritual understanding of the second coming of the Christ, namely the science found in the writings of Mary Baker Eddy, which include the teachings of Christ Jesus as promised and prophesied by Jesus when he said, quote, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. But the Comforter, divine science, which is the Holy Ghost," meaning the divine principle of activity, divine science, everywhere at work, executing the will of God, "whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. When he, the Spirit of truth, divine science, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak." The Comforter, science explains, the spiritual idea of God, your infinite, harmonious, Christ-expressing selfhood. 2,000 years ago, humanity was not ready for a science of being, Jesus' hearers were steeped in mythology. Jesus taught by the wayside. He spake of truth and love to artless listeners and dull disciples. His immortal words were articulated in a decaying language and then left to the providence of God. Christian Science was to interpret them, and woman was to awake the dull senses, intoxicated with pleasure or pain, to the infinite meaning of those words. That's for miscellaneous writings. When the conviction dawns that in reality there is nothing but infinite good, your own divine mind, the kingdom of God within you, the ills that flesh is heir to will disappear. The mind that is God, your mind, never expresses itself as corporeality or a physical man. The belief of a corporeal or physical man born of the flesh with life in matter will ultimately be seen as universal illusion, aggressive mental suggestion only. Then will Mary Baker Eddy's great revelation that principle and its idea is one, and this one is God, be realized. It will be seen that the kingdom of God within you is both noumenon and phenomena. Civilization is today slowly awakening to a realization of humanity's present divinity, since, quote, truth, through her eternal laws, unveils error, unveils mortality as error, and brings immortality, divine love, to light.